Talking today with Harvey Schroeder. He's the executive director of the Oklahoma Cotton Council. And let's start off. I know you're the first part as producer. So let's talk a little bit about the crop. What are you seeing so far?
Well, KC, it's what we've got's in the ground. It's kind of like a kid. I think it's a little snaggletooth. You know, there's some good cotton out there, and there's some not so good cotton out there. And a lot of it totally dependent on rainfall.
I was going to ask, is the good cotton being considered the one that you got in the ground and then it rained and the others you kind of had to dust in, or did you get, I know I heard that some of it got rained out.
Right. There was cotton that I saw down in the, I'm going to call it Lawton area, in there west of Lawton, that literally it was up and got washed away. It's had some recovery time. I'm going to be down that way this afternoon and kind of look it over again. Hopefully it'll be something that's very pleasing. But
When it washes away like that, are you, because I know this is like a little bit of a controversial topic, are you for replanting or not replanting?
I think it all depends on the timing and the variety of seeds you're using. We've got some shorter season seeds, particularly the kind that are being used up in the Panhandle and southern Kansas area that are a shorter season. Means it doesn't take as long for it to fruit, and you kind of miss a frost up there. Well, we're dealing with the same thing with later cotton here. You want it in before the 20th of June, and then you start counting. When do you anticipate your frost? It's a real game.
Absolutely. Well, I know that in where I'm at, we haven't really gotten a rain since we got those big good rains. So,
yeah.
For those that did manage to get the cotton in the ground and get it up, is it pretty dry now?
It is. The wind and the heat have dried it out. I had one tell me he had an inch of rain and, 2 days later it was gone. I really believe that our people who are doing the no-till, with a cover crop, if they've got it up and a little moisture, I think it's really going to be the key this time. We've seen sandstorms already and don't need any more of those.
Absolutely. And it doesn't look like it's going to rain. I mean, I did see in the forecast, we have some opportunities next week, but we're in the heat time of Oklahoma.
Oh yeah. This is Oklahoma summer, and our cotton really, it likes its feet wet and its head dry and in the sunshine. It is a marvelous plant for photosynthesis to take place in.
Absolutely.
That's what it likes. It likes the sunshine.
Well, Harvey, what in the world has happened to our cotton prices?
Well, I'm a producer. I'm not a marketer, but I watch it, It's the economy. It's not just cotton. All the commodities went down. They kind of stumbled, I guess you might say. Cotton futures, this is the June 30th. So we're looking back. I mean, behind us is where it fell. July 22, cotton futures fell 32 cents. Corn trade hard in September when the crop's coming in, fell 38 cents. Soybeans was the crop that kind of held where it was, so it didn't have as strong a drop off. And again, that's the China interest there.
Do you think part of it is, the price was so high for so long that now when it drops like that, it's almost like people are in shock?
Yes. I think you're absolutely right, Casey. This is I'm not going to call it a collapse. I'm going to call it an adjustment. They say the cure for high prices is high prices. And I think we've seen that in play, but normally we see traders go from one commodity to another, back and forth. And as it goes up and down is where they make their money at it. I think this is an economic thing. I believe our economy has topped out and is in that week, I think it was a hard downward trend. Where is it going to stop sliding? I wish I knew. But
well, what is like, you know, since you've grown cotton for so long, what was like, what in your opinion, what is the good price that's not crazy high, but not crazy low?
I wish I knew. I'd love to see dollar cotton. But here's the thing. Our input costs have changed so drastically and so rapidly. I had a young man tell me the other day, he said, it cost me $375 to go run my tractor for a day just on fuel. He said, I'm having to pay a hand $20 an hour. Now then, with that comes, you know, pick up to the, but let's look at seed prices. Seed prices are up. Equipment prices are up. Interest is going up. And I think that's been a contributor to the what we've seen on the fall. But I understand interest going up. And, you know, it's just part of doing business. So you've got to run a budget. I know OSU has some crop budgets that you can look at, plug your numbers in. It might not be a bad thing to do some of that. I know I've talked very seriously with some seed companies about their seed prices, and they say that's what it is, you know.
Well, you know, when I was talking to Seth Bird at OSU, it seemed like at the time producers were okay with the prices being really high because of all the things you just said, higher input prices, higher fertilizer prices. Well, now that the price has gone back down, what does that look like for producers?
Doesn't look good. I truly believe we're going to see, if the cattle shut up, I think we're going to see some shifts in plantings. We may see some milo enter the picture that in some places where we haven't seen it before. We may see wheat acreage come up. We may see a barley acreage increase. I know some folks that are raising barley and chopping it for cow feed, and it's working great. Farmers are pretty resourceful, and they will find a place, gives them an opportunity one way or another.
Well, and I'm sure this is, you know, in your many years of farming, this isn't something you've never seen before.
Yeah.
Seth Bird always says, cotton farmers always have to be positive.
That's right.
Well, what, if anything, advice do you have for cotton producers right now?
Stay the course. Don't starve the crop to death. It's just like cattle. You can't starve a profit out of cattle. You can't starve a profit out of cotton. There are certain things it needs, and you know if you're a cotton farmer what needs to be there. It may not be as much of the high priced fertilizer, but it's going to be some of the fertilizer. I know I first. Started using nitrogen in cotton, and the expert told me it took 90 pounds per bale. So if you wanted 3-bale cotton, figure that out. Now they're saying 125 pounds will get you 3-bale cotton. I don't know, but these guys know their ground. They know what it takes on their ground. Don't short it. Give it the opportunity to produce. One other thing, we didn't really touch hard on this, but the sustainability question. You know, we've got probably one of the best tools in our toolbox that a lot of people aren't using, and this is the Cotton Trust Protocol. We're doing things already in Western Oklahoma that fit right into it, and I'm telling you, I think if people would look at that and understand that sustainability is what our customers want. And if we're going to be good producers, we're going to provide what our customers want. Because if we don't do it, somebody else will.
Well, and that's one of those things, too, that, the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol is doing a lot of things to promote cotton for producers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There have been, I believe, 150 cotton businesses that have joined this trust protocol, and they are looking to, that's the cotton they're looking for. I think there's going to be a market there for like 6 million bales this coming season. And it would be nice to have a chunk of that in Oklahoma.
And if producers do have questions, or if they're not, like, as you mentioned, taking advantage of being a part of the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol, I'm guessing you can just go to trustuscotton.org and it has all of the information for you there.
Yes. If it doesn't have it, you need to contact National Cotton. There's a desk there that's dedicated to it. And I think that was the address that you gave. So if you got questions, find out.
Absolutely. There's no such thing as a stupid question, right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
All right, Harvey. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Casey.